Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Hello, church. So good to see you. Look, everybody, we're here. We're across all our locations. We're one church. And I want us together collectively, so loudly that all of Sydney can hear us, I want us to put our hands together and welcome all our guests. Come on, let's do that, everybody. Come on, every location. Come on. Very good. Very good. If you're a guest, we just want you to feel welcome today. And we're about three things: knowing Jesus, finding community, discovering purpose. Not here to judge a journey, here to celebrate your steps. And so every time we launch a new theme, a new campaign, we launch it together via video because we're one church. And so today we are launching our latest campaign as we come into Easter called King of Kings. And the revelation of who Jesus is really important. Knowing who Christ is the foundation of the church. And so we don't build the church on great services. We don't build it on just people. We don't build it on human wisdom. We're not building it on great facilities. We're not building on programs. We're not building it on anything that is human made. We are building the church. The church is built on the revelation of who Jesus is. Matthew 16, 18 says, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." So what was the rock Jesus was talking about? The rock was not Saint Peter, Apostle Peter. It was Peter's revelation. Come on, everyone, say revelation. That's what God builds his church on. The revelation of who he is. And that's what this month we are believing, that we together and our friends and family and neighbors, we're going to grow in the revelation of who Jesus is. Because Jesus, prior to verse 18, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said this: some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But Jesus asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter piped up a lot of times, got it wrong, but this time he got it right. And so Peter Piper pipes up and he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Church, we need to catch this today. Come on, everybody. Catch it in Silverwater, in Avalon. Come on. Come on in Oxon Falls. Catching this today. The church is built on the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the rock. This is the rock. Come on, everybody. This is the rock. The rock, the foundation, the reason we can be steadfast on what we are building, the reason what we are building as a church will not be shaken is not because of our programs, not because of our talent or skill. The reason it can't be shaken, the reason it echoes into eternity, the reason it lasts forever, come on everybody, the reason is because we have a revelation of who Jesus is. That's the rock. That's what the church is built on. And a strong church, a healthy church, a church that will advance the kingdom, that will push back the gates of hell, like Jesus said, a church that will do that will be a church that has a strong revelation of who Jesus is. And I want you to know today, I want to declare it everywhere we are today, Jesus is the King of Kings. That's who he is. Jesus is the King of Kings. Come on, everybody, I want you to say this. I want you to say it loud and proud everywhere we are today. I want you to say King of Kings. One, two, three. Beautiful. That sounded amazing. King of Kings. Who is Jesus? He is the King of Kings. And so we're going to be going to the book of John, who's going to help us, the gospel according to John, written by John, who's going to help us unpack who the King of Kings is, what kind of king Jesus is. And so the book of John, it's known as the book of signs. John wrote the book to give the church signs that point directly to Jesus being the Christ, the Son of God. And for those who believe, Jesus gave the right to become children of God. John never uses the word miracles because, although other translations do say that, but John uses the word signs because he's trying to point us to Jesus and who he is. The signs performed are to point us to the reality of who Jesus is. The book is not chronological. The stories kind of bounce around the place. It starts in different spots. It's a little out of order compared to the other Gospels, the Gospel of John. And, you know, we start to see who Jesus is, cleansing of the temple, where Jesus got out a whip. Look out. We start to see these aspects of the kind of king that Jesus is. And John included selective texts that point to Jesus as Messiah and presents them as a narrative. Here it is. It is an event-orientated book, not a time-orientated book. So we're going to pick it up in John 1, John chapter 1. Turn, grab your Bible. If you got your leather-bound Bible today, grab it out. If you got a digital device, that's fine too. We've got a Bible on the screen for you. We're going to look along and read this scripture, John 1. Are you there? Good job. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist, he says, he came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, all who did receive him, who believed in his name, receiving is believing in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Wow. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God, born of God. And the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace. Look at this. Full. What's God full of? What's Jesus full of? Full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, this was of he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. He was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Jesus has made God known. Isn't that good? Come on, everybody. Isn't that the most amazing piece of scripture? And so this month, we're going to be unpacking the book of John and learning about who Jesus is as we travel towards Easter. Now is a really good time to be praying and asking God, who in my world can I include? Who should I be praying for, Lord? Who should I be including? Who should I be starting to be generous towards, pray towards, and start to sow seeds that they might see that God is alive and see who Jesus is? So church, I want us to be praying now. Let's not pray the week before Easter, the week of Easter. We got Good Friday services, Easter Sunday services. I want you to, let's start praying now. We are believing this is the year to prepare the way for the Lord. We're believing for prodigals to come back to Jesus. We're believing for a harvest of new believers, people who don't know God. And this month is a significant month as we unpack who Jesus is, the King of Kings. So four things I want you to catch that John helps us see about who Jesus is. The first one is that he is pre-existent. Jesus is pre-existent. John 1, 1-2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. John makes it very clear that Jesus has always existed. The Trinity has always existed as the Trinity. Jesus' existence didn't start with his birth. That's why we call his birth the incarnation. He took on human form, he took on human flesh, but he had always existed. Before he became human flesh, Jesus always was. Before you were, he was. Before the natural was, the spiritual was. Before the creation was, God was. And so Jesus is pre-existent. He is first. He is first. And I like to remind, I like to often remind Oakland, sometimes when I'm hanging out with Oakland, he'll start to get quite demonstrative. And, you know, he kind of knows what he wants. And I like that. That's a good thing. And he'll be like, Daddy, I want whatever. And Daddy, I want. And, he'll wake up at night. I mean, one night he woke up and said, Daddy, it's 2 a.m. Daddy, food at 2 a.m. What is up with this guy? It's unbelievable. And so yes, I obliged. I gave him banana. He ate the banana, went straight back to sleep. It was unbelievable. But I've been trying to teach him and remind him, hey, Oakland, before you were around here, I was. Before you turned up around here, Jessen and I, your mum and I, we were here first. And I often remind him, I say this thing to him, I say, hey, Oakland, just remember, Daddy's the boss. I say, hey, remember, Daddy's the boss. You're not the boss. Daddy's the boss. And he's just, it's just hilarious. It's so cute. He goes, no, Oakland's boss, Oakland's boss. And I say, no, Daddy's boss. And then I make sure he knows that I'm boss. But before he was ever around, I just like to remind him that we were here. And that's the same with God. Hey, everybody, remember, before we got on the scene here, before we inhabited the earth and inhabited God's creation, he was. Jesus didn't just turn up when he was born. Jesus is pre-existent. This is the kind of king that he is. He is an eternal king. He has no beginning, no end. He is eternal. You cannot control Jesus. Everybody, you cannot put Jesus in a box. Jesus has never been controlled, and Jesus has never been coerced to do anything. Jesus does what he does of his own fruition and of his own will as God, the Trinity, decides and makes decisions. They decide. He is sovereign. He is pre-existent. He is all-powerful. I love in John 10, it says, for this reason the Father loves me, Jesus talking, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Jesus's life was not taken. It was given. They did not take his life. He gave his life. He willingly went with the Roman soldiers. He willingly went to the cross. He willingly hung on the cross. He could have got off the cross whenever he wanted, but he didn't. He hung on the cross for you and I. He did it willingly. Nobody controls Jesus. Jesus is first. Jesus is before all things, and he remains after all things. Amen, everybody. Come on. Can you give God some praise that Jesus is pre-existent? Yeah, that's who he is. Secondly, Jesus is light and life. We see in John 1 verse 4, in him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So John kind of uses this contrasting language all the time. It's dualistic kind of communication where he talks about from above and below, and he talks about darkness and light. And he's making the case and presenting the fact that Jesus is the source of light. He is not a light. He is not a derivative of light. He's not a kind of light. He's not a result of light. Jesus is the light of the world. When you look at Jesus, you are looking at the light, true light, not a form of light. You are looking at light itself. Look what Psalm 34 verse 5 says. It says, those who look to him are radiant. And I love what it says here. Their faces are never covered with shame. Those who look to him are radiant. Why? Because when you look at light, you become full of light. When you look at Jesus, when you behold Jesus, you become like Jesus. And he is light. And where his light is, there is no darkness. When you are full of the light of Jesus, darkness flees. Demons tremble. Things that have had a stronghold on your life, they break. Things that have been tormenting you at night, you've been having nightmares, you've been unable to sleep, you've been going over and over about things you regret, things that have hurt you, things that people said, you're stuck in a cycle and there's darkness in your heart and mind. How do you get free? How do you break free from guilt and shame? You look at Jesus because he is the light. So, everybody, here's what I want you to catch. Here's what I want to catch. We need to make a trade. We live in the modern day age, and so we need to make a trade because how do you look at the light? How do you look at the source of light? This is how. We trade in our blue light. Come on, everybody, you know what I'm talking about. That phone light, the light that we look at in the morning, we look at it at night, we look at it at lunchtime throughout the day, and we're consuming content through this blue light. And the blue light is full of the world's content. And the world's content is not the source of light nor life. The world's content is full of darkness. And the more you look at the content of this world, the more you are filled with darkness. And it leads to destruction. It doesn't lead to life. But if you and I were to put down the blue light, I'm telling you, every time you put down the blue light, you trade it in for real light. I'm talking about real light. I'm talking about the Word of God. There it is. The Word of God light. Jesus is the Word and Jesus is the light. So every time you look at the Word, you are looking at light. And like Psalm says, those who look to him will be radiant. Their faces will never be covered in shame. The more you look at the Word, the more full of the light, the source of light you become. And the more light you have in your soul, the more life you have in your soul. So how do you look at the light? You look at the Word. You read the Word. You study the Word. You meditate, chew on the Word. This is the key to being filled with light. Amen. And this is what transforms us. It changes us. So Jesus is pre-existent. Jesus, the King of Kings, he is the light and the life. This light that he is gives life to our soul, gives life to our heart, gives life to everything. And number three, John teaches us that he became flesh. John 14, 1-1, verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And this is one of the most crazy, extraordinary mysteries of the gospel, that Jesus became human. Divinity put on humanity and dwelt among us. So Jesus knows the kind of king that Jesus is the kind of king that can empathize with you and I. He's the kind of king who knows what it is to live a human life, to be born into a normal family, to work, to rest, to have friends, to celebrate, to be part of a community, to be misunderstood, to be betrayed, to suffer, to be in pain. He is not a king who was born into a royal family, born into just privilege. He's the kind of king who let go of all of that humbled himself and made himself nothing so that he could empathize with you and I. Jesus is the King who humbled himself to a criminal's death. He went as low as you can go. He did not come in high, he came in low. Look at Philippians 2, 5 to 11 says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him, come on, everybody, the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you remember this song? We have this song written by C3SYD, written by us, our team. It's a song called What Other King? I want you to listen to it. Have a listen. Would take off his crown. Yeah, this one.
What other king would give up his throne?
Such a good song.
What other king would hang on a cross?
Come on.
And lay down his life for love.
Amazing. You know that song, What Other King? I want you to listen to the lyrics. It says, what other king would take off his crown? What other king would give up his throne? What other king would hang on a cross and lay down his life for love? What other king has risen from death? And what other king has conquered the grave? What other king has rolled back the stone and walked from the tomb alive? What other king is mighty to save? What other king is worthy of praise? And what other king is seated on high in heaven above in glory? Come on, everybody. What other king? This is the king that we're talking about, the king who came from heaven to earth, died a criminal's death that you and I might have life. This is the king. This is the king. And what I want you to catch today is that this king, number four thing we see from the book of John here in John chapter 1, is that he came full of grace and truth. Verse 14, it says, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We want Sydney to see the glory of God. And the glory of God is full of grace and truth. Jesus is 100% grace, 100% truth. Grace that connects, truth that sets us free. Unless we hear the truth that we desperately need God, we will not be able to receive his grace. He is a king who tells us the truth of our condition, then by his grace provides a way out. Tim Keller said this, love without truth is sentimentality. It supports and affirms us but keeps us in denial about our flaws. Truth without love is harshness. It gives us information, but in such a way that we cannot really hear it. God's saving love in Christ, however, is marked by both radical truthfulness about who we are and yet also radical, unconditional commitment to us. Jesus is the good shepherd. Psalm 23, verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, a rod and a staff? Have a look. Yeah, a rod and a staff. A shepherd uses a rod and a staff. The rod is for correction. Staff is for connection. The rod is for correcting. And the staff is for bringing us close. You need both. Jesus administers both. He is full of truth and grace. We need so much grace. The kindness of God brings us to repentance. But it needs truth. We must have truth to be set free. And the truth is we are sinners. The truth is we need that grace. And the two go together. I love Ephesians 4. It says, communicating the truth in love, we grow. We grow up. And here's the thing, everybody. Truth is like seed and love is like soil. And so this king, King Jesus, the way he grows us is echoed in the way Paul is describing how we should communicate to each other. Jesus is full of grace and truth. He communicates truth in love. So truth is like seed. You won't be able to see this seed, but I'm holding a seed, a pumpkin seed, a little tiny seed. And the way it is designed to work, the way God works, the way Jesus works, is truth is delivered in love. So truth is like seed, love is like soil. And so you plant truth into the soil, not the other way around. You don't have an environment of truth and plant love. You have an environment of love and you plant truth. The love of God is overwhelming. The love of God is all-consuming. And it's in the context of his love that he plants truth. Love is the incubator that truth grows in. Judgment is not the incubator of truth. Rejection is not the incubator of truth. Love, the goodness, the mercy, the love of God is the incubator. It is the environment. It is the arms that we enter into that truth is then delivered in. Not in disapproval, not in disappointment. The rod is not given in disappointment. It is not given in disapproval. It is given in love. So seed is planted in soil. You don't get seed and make an environment of seed. You don't make a soil made of seed and then take a little bit of dirt and put a bit of dirt on top of the seed. The seed won't grow because the seed must be in soil. You don't put soil into seed. Everybody, you hear what I'm saying? You don't put soil into seed. You put seed into the soil. So God is not just delivering truth, 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 truth. Judgment, 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 judgment. He has delivered love. This king died because he loves us. And it's in that way that of love that truth is planted. Truth is delivered in the context of love. God loves you. Hear me today. God loves you. And he will bring truth, but it is only to set you free. Like the woman caught in the act of adultery, Jesus said, John 8, then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Neither do I. Grace. Go and sin no more. Truth. Jesus is pre-existent. Jesus, this king, he is light and life. Jesus, this king, became flesh. And Jesus, this king, is full of grace and truth. Everybody, come on, amen? Everybody, Jesus is the King of Kings. And that's what we're going to be unpacking this month. I don't want you to miss a week. Let's grow as our revelation in Jesus. Let our revelation of Jesus grow this month like it has never been before. Prepare the way for the Lord, that the glory of God may be revealed. What is the glory? It is the revelation of Jesus, that all flesh would see who Jesus is. I'm believing this month you are going to have a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. And I'm believing your neighbors, your friends from school, your people in your world that you've been praying for, this year in Jesus' name, they're going to have a fresh revelation of who Jesus is because that is the rock that everything God is building is built on. The rock of revelation of who Jesus is. Everybody, let me pray for you. Band, worship team, come and join me. Everybody, I'd love you to stay where you are. Let me pray for you. I'm going to invite the team up. Come now, team. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence. God, we thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have your way. Lord, Father, open our eyes to see clearly who you are in the mighty name of Jesus. They all said, come on, church, C3SOD, come on, everybody. Good hearty amen. Say amen. Amen. Love you heaps. See you soon.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.